It's time for Free Thought Radio, a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, featuring Foundation co-presidents Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
God-fearing people, out-of-the-closet atheists, and irreverent agnostics. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, on September 8th, 2007.
And I'm here too. I'm Dan Barker, your co-host, your friendly neighborhood atheist. Welcome to Free Thought Radio. This is the weekly broadcast produced by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics, working as a watchdog group to keep state and church separate.
If you're a local listener, maybe you're tuning in as you drive to Bob Fest. Dan and I are staffing a table there for the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
So come and find us if you're going there. Pick up a sample of our newspaper, Free Thought Today. We have a lot of bumper stickers you might want to drive home with on the back of your car. But you can buy an out-of-the-closet atheist cap, or a t-shirt that says Happy Heretic, and you can sign up. Do we still have those t-shirts that says the best evidence against intelligent design? Mm-hmm. The George Bush one. It has a picture of George Bush
wearing
a
indeed. Halo. We have lots of t-shirts.
And you can sign up to become a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation at our table.
Our guest today will be a return interviewee, Mikey Weinstein, who's a former military insider, retired Air Force attorney, who's formed his own watchdog group called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Mikey Weinstein will be talking with us about some recent massive military violations of the separation between church and government and his role in exposing, for example, a video that was unlawfully filmed by the Christian Embassy at the Pentagon, and also a just-breaking expose that the Pentagon's top chaplain opened Pentagon doors to Hope Ministries International very recently, where an evangelical group spent 2 days at the Pentagon proselytizing, saving souls, and passing out Christian literature.
We'll talk about that and other U.S. military and religion entanglements with Mikey Weinstein on the second segment of today's show. We also want to mark the upcoming 6th anniversary of 9/11, that ultimate faith-based initiative. The foundation has placed some ads in magazines this year, such as in The Progressive and in The Nation, with a picture showing the Twin Towers before 9/11 in the New York City skyline. And the wording says, imagine a world free from religion.
And we also have an ad up, a splash ad up at our website, ffrf.org, that's pointing out that there is no greater source of strife, hatred, terrorism, bloodshed, persecution, or war than religion.
Those words Annie Laurie just quoted are a paraphrase of a historic Wisconsin State Supreme Court decision from 1890 in explaining the court's ruling that Bible reading in public schools is unconstitutional. Once religion enters civil affairs, watch out. That union between religion and government so quickly turns into divisiveness, if not deadliness.
So as people consider the menace of religious terrorism abroad, we urge our country to consider the growing threat posed by religious fanaticism here at home. We see the war against secular values, gay rights, abortion rights, evolution, stem cell research. We've seen the danger, the big dangers, of control by the religious right of politics, media, and government. So our message is protect the First Amendment. It protects you.
Imagine no religion. If the world were free from religion, the Middle East would be a land of peace. Civil rights for women and gays would be secure. The Twin Towers would still be standing.
And so we always like to start our Hour of Free Thinking with a quick look at the news in a segment that we usually call Theocracy Alert, but this week I think we could easily rename it Hypocrisy Alert. After speaking of on-again, off-again, Senator Larry Craig from Idaho, Dan, you happened to have to travel through the Minneapolis airport last week, didn't you?
I went to Arizona, and I came back through Minneapolis, and I used the airport restroom. I saw that stall number 3, and it was on that throne of God that Larry Craig's Senate seat got flushed. And now I think we can see why he's been kind of on again, off again. He's been stalling because of the... Is that a bad joke or is this a...
That's a good pun.
Okay.
And I guess that, what else can we say about it? But I guess that we can say it's been the season of scandals for religious right politicians. Craig joins quite a list of right-wing congressional hypocrites, including, of course, Florida Congressman Mark Foley, outed in 05 for sending inappropriate instant messaging to male pages. We've talked on past shows about the godly Louisiana Senator David Vitter on the client list of the D.C. Madam prostitution ring. Vitter announced in July that God had forgiven him for his transgressions, and so have the right-wing members of Congress. No one calling for him to resign, just maybe some pats on the back for Vitter. We haven't talked before, however, about the FBI raid on the home and the wine cellar of Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. Now, Ted Stevens was instrumental, has been instrumental, in directing federal tax dollars, of course, to pork all over the place in Alaska, but to religious pork. The Evangelical Covenant Church of Alaska has gotten huge grants of federal money through Stevens and through the Alaska delegation. And this is a college, quote-unquote, which offers no degrees and no academic classes, and over which the Freedom From Religion Foundation has sued successfully in the past.
And this has been a bad summer for the powerful Christian televangelists in this country. God has taken home, or done in, however you want to phrase it, not just Jerry Falwell, but now the Reverend D. James Kennedy, who ran the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. Kennedy died on Wednesday at the age of 76. D. James Kennedy orchestrated many religious right activities, and of course he was all over the public airwaves broadcasting his hour-long weekly TV show with such topics as Darwin's deadly legacy. Well, he was right about that, because according to Darwinism, everybody has to die and make room for the survival of the fittest. So you know what it's like? It's like a big vacuum. These powerful TV evangelists, as soon as one of them goes, what are there, like a dozen just waiting in the wings?
Or maybe hundreds or thousands waiting in the wings.
Waiting for the money and the fame and the attention. And
so undoubtedly that, Coral Ridge Ministry program will be continuing over our public airwaves. And finally, did you know that Bush has God's shoulder to cry on? Journalist Robert Draper has a new book that came out this week, Dead Certainty, The Presidency of George W. Bush. Bush granted Draper several extended interviews, and during one of them, Bush told him, "I do tears. I've got God's shoulder to cry on, and I cry a lot. I bet I've shed more tears than you can count. As president, I'll shed more tomorrow." And maybe the world has also shed more tears than you can count since he's been our faith-filled chief occupant.
He said, "I do tears." Right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do a very good job of running our country, and he takes your money and my money to throw away, basically, as we talked in previous shows, to religious groups who don't do anything. But as long as we can know that he does tears, I guess we can relax. He's running our country with God's shoulder to cry on.
I'm Annie Lloyd-Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We'll be right back to get fully updated on the most recent egregious religious scandals dogging our Department of Defense with watchdog attorney and whistleblower Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. But let's go out with this segment, listening to a little snippet from the Left Behind apocalyptic video.
Video game.
A video game with the message, "Die or Convert," which the military had planned to permit an evangelical outfit to send to all troops in Iraq until it was Exposed by Media and Mikey Weinstein.
BBC World. Fighting broke out overnight between rival factions, killing at least 49 soldiers and 13 civilians. Damage to the base is said to be heavy, and the jets are reported to be...
You are listening to Free Thought Radio, hosted by Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor, and produced by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org.
And Free Thought Radio is back. I'm Dan Barker, and I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Our guest today is Michael L. Mikey Weinstein, who filed a lawsuit in federal court in October 2004 against the Air Force to end illegal proselytizing and evangelizing at their Air Force in Colorado for cadets. That lawsuit was recently thrown out on standing, but... Mikey Weinstein's been very active since then. In March 2006, he formed the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, a watchdog group. He's an attorney and a businessman who served on active duty in the United States Air Force as a judge advocate general for 10 years stationed at military installations. Mikey Weinstein served as a federal prosecutor and defense attorney, as well as the Air Force's first chief of telecommunications and information system procurement law. He spent 3 years as an attorney in the Reagan White House, serving in the Office of Management and Budget under White House Budget Director David Stockman. He served as Assistant General Counsel in the Executive Office, and he has a book called With God on Our Side.
And it's real nice to have Mikey Weinstein back on Free Thought Radio on the phone. Welcome, Mikey.
Thank you, guys. It's indeed a pleasure to be back.
Now, you have just broken a lot of scandals about religion in the military, but there's a new one that just came out. I believe you broke it about the Hope Ministries. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, it's just the latest. Of course, we are accumulating all of these so that we hope to get back into federal court not the near term, but the extreme near term. We can maybe talk about that a little bit later, too. But this is just the latest of the, I would call, the tragic... trifecta of constitutional raping that has occurred with particular fundamentalist ministries that we've uncovered in the last few months at the Pentagon. The first, of course, being the well-documented Christian embassy debacle. Shortly at the start of the summer, we broke the Operation Straight Up story with the former actor Stephen Baldwin and self-proclaimed kickboxing champion Jonathan Spinks, another one of these fundamentalist dominionist organizations. The latest is this group called Hope. When our folks reached out to Hope, they wouldn't tell us what H-O-P stands for, but Hope Ministries is based in North Carolina with a guy named Reverend Kistler, who's their head guy. We found out unbelievably that in early June of 2005 in the sacrosanct center courtyard, open courtyard of the Pentagon, where Al-Qaeda couldn't even get to by crashing a plane into the outer ring, the E-ring of the Pentagon on 9/11, the Hope Ministries were allowed to hold a two-day crusading, evangelizing, proselytizing event in the open air of the center of the Pentagon for two straight days. They were bragging about the how many souls they were bringing back to Christ. It's all on our website for your listeners at www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org.
Was this during the day?
It was for two straight days, yes, during the day when people were actually having their lunches out there. It just strains credulity to believe that something like this was happening. I'm not going to bore the people who are listening to this program with the number of federal laws and regulations that destroys and just lays waste to. Clearly, the First Amendment, the separation of church and state, which of course these people view as a myth, like Bigfoot, is being desecrated, to say nothing of Clause 3, Article 6, the prohibition in the body of the Constitution that prohibits the establishment, if you will, of a religion test for any position in the federal government.
And that area of the Pentagon is clearly not something we would call a public forum where people...
No, there's a Pentagon auditorium where people have held religious revival issues, and we have issues with that as it is. There's a Pentagon executive dining room in the E-ring. I think it's 3E801 is the actual designation for the room in the Pentagon. That's bad enough, but when you're out there in an area that's completely common use with members of the military and civilian employees of the military eating their lunches, and you're going through what the Pentagon chaplain described as, quote, cutting-edge evangelization or proselytization at the Pentagon, the only thing cutting there was the cutting edge that was, ripping to shreds the U.S. Constitution. But if enough sheeple are out there, in Homer Simpson America to do nothing, no one's going to care. But
this was through the chaplain who arranged this?
Chaplains can't do this by themselves. They have to have the approval of commanders.
But could our group ask for a permit to hold a rally out there?
Yeah, you could ask. And just like Hillary Clinton could ask, to hold a campaign rally there. Or say the Church of Satan could ask to do that, or for that matter, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation could ask to do that.
But it ain't going to happen.
But it's not a public forum. It's actually a militarily controlled area.
Absolutely. Now, to make matters worse, I'm not done. Just a few weeks ago, 2 years later now we're talking June of 07, Hope Ministries is invited back again for a 2-day romp through the Pentagon. They don't get the center pad. Open courtyard this time. What they're doing, we're not exactly sure, but the Army was nice enough to use the people's money and the people's time to create a DVD of Hope Ministries' visit to the Pentagon. On it says, prepared by the U.S. Army Video Services and Audiovisual Services, and they sent it to Hope Ministries, and Hope is sending that out as an evangelizing tool to its various acolytes, saying, hey, look what we got here from the Army, memorializing our visit. Isn't that nice they did that?
Oh, my gosh. So this is how you found out about it?
No, we found out about it actually through another one of our research people. We have a research team that's really quite excellent with the foundation. We've grown quite a bit larger than we were last year when we first got to know you guys real well, and I'm very happy for it. But we now had over we're closing in on 6,000 members of the U.S. military, active duty members of the U.S. Marine Corps, Navy, Army, and Air Force, and veterans who've come to our foundation. Again, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation on the web at www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org, begging for help as tormentees. And ironically, 96% of those coming to us remain Christians. 3/4 traditional Protestants, 1/4 Roman Catholics. The other 4.5% are going to be atheist, agnostic, freethinker, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu. But this is basically dominionist, fundamentalist Christians that are praying, P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y, on non-evangelical fundamentalist Christians, telling them, you may have thought you were a good enough Christian, but you're not actually, according to us. And as a result, you will burn eternally in the fires of hell, along with the atheists, the free thinkers, and the Jews.
That gives you a lot of hope, doesn't it?
Yes, maybe that's what hope stands for.
So basically, these people are coming to you for help, and they're whistleblowing about religion and religious entanglements in the military.
They're actually, it's worse than that. I get a lot of calls from where I live in the Mountain Time Zone in New Mexico. The AOR, which is how the Pentagon identifies Iraq and Afghanistan, it stands for Area of Responsibility, is 10 hours ahead of me, and it's you guys, I think, are Central Time, so it's 9 hours ahead of you. So I get calls from the troops around the clock that are they're being forced to accept this biblical worldview, or they face extremely dire circumstances, in some cases being forced to go on patrols where there's a higher likelihood of confronting jihadi or insurrectionists, are going down boulevard streets, avenues, loops, drives where there's an expected higher concentration of IEDs. Members are being told of units that unless they all accept this biblical worldview of Jesus, that the commander cannot be held responsible for any, grievous death or injuries that occur because if anyone holds out, that means they won't have the blessing of Jesus. You can't believe this stuff.
That is unbelievable. I mean, they're being threatened with death.
We
had a young troop that had was on his second tour when he first for the Army. This was in Afghanistan. When he signed up, they wanted him to put down a particular they were being forced to put a particular fundamentalist Christian sect on his dog tags. He just said, "Look, I'm a Christian. Just leave it at that. I want to say what kind of Christian I am." He tried to stand up as much as he could. It's very daunting task to do in the military when you're being pushed by your military superiors and you're pretty helpless. So they stuck none on his dog tag. When he got to Afghanistan, his commanders looked at that, declared him a heathen, gave him a little Dixie cup in his left hand and tweezers in the right hand, and told he had to spend the next 2 weeks in the unit latrine before he could join his colleagues, his fellow troopers out there. His job was to fill the Dixie cup with pubic hairs, using the tweezers to pull them out of the latrine toilets.
Did you complain on his behalf, or did anything?
Of course we did. Yeah.
Ever come of that?
Most of these people, they will not come forward. They will not be plaintiffs. They will not go to the press. They live in terror and fear for what the military can do to them. They will normally block their phone calls, even when they call me. They're terrified to call in. But if I can at least have them, you know, muster enough temerity to give me the unit name and the commander, you know, I'll call in. Like, you know, I guess it's like in the old days with 60 Minutes and Mike Wallace. You know, this is Mikey Weinstein with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. We have allegations that this stuff is occurring in your unit. Would you like to talk to me, or would you like to talk to CNN?
Well, you get a lot of good publicity, Mikey. I mean, you had an op-ed in the L.A. Times last week or so, didn't you?
Yeah, it was the week before last. And, it was based on both the Christian Embassy mess and, you know, I mean, we talked about how badly this is hurting our foreign policy. And, you know, when the Christian Embassy matter came out, we have a videotape, again, that's available on our website at militaryreligiousfreedom.org. You can look at this, and one of the generals in his uniform in the Pentagon proselytizing on behalf of this extreme right-wing fundamentalist organization, an outgrowth of the late Dr. Bill Bright's Campus Crusade for Christ, is Major General Pete Sutton. When we released the tape to the world on December 11th last year at a big press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., the leading Turkish newspaper, Sabah, picked it up and carried a story about this guy. Why? Because General Sutton was in Turkey. His main job was to create, quote, warm, you know, working relations between our Department of Defense, our Pentagon, and the Turkish general staff. Now, Turkey is our closest Islamic ally. They were actually members of NATO. When the Turkish general staff saw this news article identifying Sutton with this right-wing Christian, you know, fundamentalist organization, this fringe organization, they were shocked. They called him in. They were furious to have him explain what happened here. Now, if our Islamic allies are getting this pissed at this stuff, can you imagine the propaganda boon this must be for Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, he's dead, but his followers, a resurgent Taliban, an al-Qaeda that our most recent national intelligence estimate has determined to be at least as strong as it was on 9/11, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah's, you know, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, Islamic Jihad. It's just unbelievable. So what these people are doing is seditious, it's treasonous, and it's killing and emboldening, you know, killing our young men and women in uniform
and
by
to
emboldening
them,
the enemy.
To them, the Islamic extremists over there, this would look like another crusade, a reenactment of the West crusading back into their
And
lives.
It's even, you know, look, we also uncovered about a year ago, you guys may remember, that the Air Force actually at that time had, they hastily decommissioned, but they kept the right to bring it back. The attack F-16 squadron, the 523rd Crusaders, stationed at Cannon Air Force Base in New Mexico.
That's the name of the group?
They're called the Crusaders. They're an attack F-16 fighter squadron. Wow. Their official logos, I can't make this stuff up, Dan and Annie Laurie, all of their F-16s, which are equipped to carry laser-guided conventional and nuclear weapons. On their flight suits, in their squadron, is a giant crucifix, also a giant Crusaders helmet surrounded by from the year 1096, the year of the first of the nine, you know, count them, nine crusades. The helmet is surrounded by three yellow stars in the shape of a crucifix to represent the Trinity, and just for good measure, they have a big Crusaders broadsword on there. So if you can imagine that, along with the fact that the U.S. Air Force has still not officially taken back the policy that they announced on the front page of the newspaper most reviled by the Pentagon, which, of course, is the New York Times, July 12, 2005, that it was now the Air Force's official policy to, quote, reserve its right to evangelize anyone it determined to be unchurched.
And that was really what catapulted you into this whole movement, isn't it?
It did. You know, but I got to ask you, you know, we're fighting Wahhabist Islamic extremists that are trying to impose Sharia law on everybody in the world. You tell me how this isn't the Christian Taliban, with these people trying to impose their biblical worldview of this weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ in direct flagrant violation of our very precious Constitution. There is no difference. They hate it when I say it, but I'm going to say what they are. They are the Christian Taliban. If any of you are listening again, that would be Christian Taliban.
Now, we have played a little bit of the Left Behind video before we brought you on the show, Mikey.
And the video game.
The video game that was going to...
Eternal Forces,
That was going to be sent to all of the Iraqi soldiers. And we want to talk about that when we come back from this break. But let's listen to just a little bit more of the Left Behind apocalyptic video game.
Throughout history, men and women have chosen one of three paths. Those who daily seek a personal relationship with God. Unbelievers and believers who don't seek after God. And those who choose to ignore God. And as the prophets foretold, God will come to take his people home. No one knows the day or the hour. Without any warning, all infants, children, and many people mysteriously disappear. Terror and confusion reign the world over. For those left behind, the apocalypse has just begun.
And Free Thought Radio is back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're talking with attorney Mikey Weinstein, director of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which is a watchdog group which has exposed the infiltration of Christian evangelists into the U.S. military.
Now, we just played, at the last break, we played another little bit from the Left Behind video game. And Mikey, you were telling me during the break that it was your group that broke that story. So you want to talk a little bit more about what was involved?
Sure. We have we have a lot of moles in the Pentagon. People very some of them very very senior. And this was Operation Straight Up was attempting to send over quote freedom packets to all of our soldiers, which would include you might think it, as I said in the op-ed, it might include badly needed body armor, but then or home baked cookies, but it was none of that. It included. In addition to baby wipes to keep things clean, it included this Left Behind Eternal Forces virulent, fundamentalist Christian game, which is the killer convert game that received so much negative publicity last holiday season that I think Walmart and Target were forced to pull it from their shelves.
Oh, really?
It included some of their most virulent written proselytizing material, which was written, I get this, in both English and Arabic,
given the tiny
minuscule percentage of our U.S. military that can actually write or speak Arabic. You can imagine what they were supposed to be using this proselytic material for the Iraqis, I guess both the Shia, the Sunni, the Turkmen, the Kurds, and everybody in Afghanistan. The game, of course, this is like selling you can be a prison guard at Dachau or Auschwitz, in Israel, about a Holocaust video game. It's absolutely
inflammatory.
There's nothing left at this time for the imagination as to the degree to which the lickspittle supplicants in the U.S. military and their head, this suboptimal human being in the West Wing, will stoop to push this biblical agenda. Which is, like I said before, I'm always accused of, well, you just don't like our beliefs. My response is no. I mean, I would actually die to protect your right to believe. The crazy stuff that you believe, or the crazy stuff that anybody believes, for that matter. The difference here is that you are trying to make this fundamentalist evangelical perspective of religion de facto American military and civilian foreign and domestic policy, and that's why it's relevant to know the crazy stuff that you believe.
Now, this was canceled, but the military had agreed to send this so-called care package from this group called Operation Straight Up.
Right, there's a group called America Supports You that has about 250 organizations on it. Many of them are religious,
and
the Pentagon was, they're claiming that they're stopping this. This is why we're not. That's not a remedy. We need to go into federal court and have a judge in a black robe force them under penalty of violating federal law to stop what's happening. Because it's every time we catch them, it seems like it's every 8 to 9 working days, doing something that's egregious. They just stretch the yellow crime scene tape. And tell Janie and Jimmy Sixpack around America, just move on, there's nothing to see here. we, of course, and our litigators are keeping track of everything that's there. And
now, this what also bothers me about this, though, is you just referred to this America Supports You program. That's an official arm of the Defense Department, and you're.
It is.
What is going on with that? Because my understanding is that the military is letting religious groups and corporations get sort of unbridled access to soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan and to their families.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely prostituting the process in every possible way. Actually, interestingly enough, Operation Straight Up was, you know, their term is it's OSU, which is the exact opposite of USO. Everyone knows what USO is.
Right.
And the Pentagon was going to send them over, not under the auspices of a religious group, but under entertainment. There's just good family entertainment. You get to see the flying Walendas and strong men and beauty queens and, you know, actor Steve Baldwin. I don't think his shadow will ever darken the doorstep of receiving an Oscar in Hollywood. But the fact is that they're trying to take, if you will, put the imprimatur of entertainment over something that is so blatantly, parochially, sectarian is astonishing. I run out of words at this point. I mean, there's a deliberate attempt. Our organization, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, has officially now renamed the Pentagon as the Pentecostal Gon, and our honorable and noble Department of Defense as another situs for this imperious fascistic contagion of unconstitutional, fundamentalist Christian triumphalism, and it's become nothing but a faith-based initiative. That's what's left.
Religion and war have always seemed to go together.
Oh, they go well together.
Onward, Christian soldiers. That was the theme song for the KKK and marching as to war.
Right.
I just read, not only was it the Crusaders, but Martin Luther himself, he had a bowling alley in his church, and the bowling pins were called heathens. And they would actually have a religious ritual where they would roll bowling balls to knock over and kill the heathens. This was pre-video game time, but there's something in the mentality of these believers who not only want to proselytize, they want to crush. They just want to kill. They want to.
And they're playing war games.
They're war games then and now.
Well, they'll quote 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, that's where Paul states that true believers in Christianity should never be, quote, unequally yoked to non-believers like us or anybody who doesn't accept their biblical worldview. And they state that's because that, look, if you keep trying to convert somebody and they won't accept it, they represent unrighteousness and the darkness, whereas we correct Christians represent lightness, or the light, and righteousness. So, the concept is they have to disassociate themselves from those that will not accept their biblical worldview. Generally, that disassociation results in oceans and oceans of blood.
Now, my question to you, Mikey, is have you done a FOIA, like a Freedom of Information Act request, or have you investigated further into the Defense Department's America's Supports You program, how you apply.
We have blanketed them in FOIAs.
So have you gotten anything back?
No. I mean, we've just gotten the usual. I mean, we just found out about this. They have mm-hmm. to respond in 20 days, but they
right.
simply have to give you some sort of a status report.
In fact,
I just, ironically, before we went on the air here today, I got my latest FOIA status report from our council in Washington, D.C. Once again, it's just, we're not going to, I mean, FOIA is nice, but it's a fairly weak discovery element when compared to the rules of civil procedure. So if we can avoid a motion to dismiss with our next pending lawsuit, which will be nuclear weapon tipped, that will be far better because it's
discovery,
getting it under having forcing them to to go into depositions or to
right.
answer interrogatories or to give up admissions and things like that.
Well, that's what we've learned at the Freedom from Religion Foundation: just go to court and do discovery.
Yeah,
because
the problem is
they slow you down.
You got to have the lawyers willing to do it and. Lawyers are expensive, and if they're going to go pro bono, it becomes quite a Herculean task.
Well, many congratulations, though, to you for stopping, this just terribly egregious violation. What if that Left Behind video game had gone out with all of that proselytizing material?
Well, thank you very much, Annie, Laurie, and Dan. I can tell you, though, that, we kind of follow what we call here have you heard of the 13th stroke theory?
No. What is that?
That's like the 13th stroke of a crazy clock that cast doubt not only upon that hour, but indeed all that preceded. In other words, these are the termites we're finding. You never find, if you see two or three termites in your house, it's exactly 0% likelihood that there are not tons more there. So that you can imagine what else is out there. We get contacted all the time about what's out there. We have pilots that are going through survival training with the U.S. Air Force and Navy that are being given training blocks on the importance of, quote, the correct type of faith in captivity. I mean, we can go on and on and on. We're able to stop as much as we can, but, you know, we need to get into federal court to make it more powerful, and we have a lot of supporters. In the meantime, we get the usual coterie of 3 to 4 or 5 death threats a week, and I continue to have a group of what I presume are fundamentalist Christian women who call me every 8 to 9 days just chanting on the phone, Mikey Weinstein, bullet in the head, praise the Lord, he's finally dead.
Wow. Hey, I wanted to ask you something. You probably have no way of knowing this, but do you think it's possible that Pat Tillman bumped into some of those people over there?
Well, I'm in communication with Alex Garwood, who is Pat's brother-in-law. He's married to Pat's sister, and he is the guy who runs the Tillman Foundation. And I think that is extremely likely. I mean, I can't prove it, but Pat was a guy that had a lot of intestinal fortitude. He wasn't going to just bow down to this, you know, rampant Christian fundamentalism, which, by the way, is particularly heinous in the special forces, places like where he was doing what he was doing.
And, in Afghanistan.
Right, in Afghanistan, where there really, was at least appeared to be a just war, because that's where the Taliban was, and, that's apparently where al-Qaeda had a stronghold, as opposed to the Iraq invasion, which now appears to have been based on nothing but, falsified information. Another Gulf of Tonkin, incident, as it were. So I think it's highly likely. There have been so many investigations. How will we ever be able to actually prove that? I don't know, but I can tell you that when you start seeing things like these extreme fringe right-wing organizations being given access to the center courtyard of the Pentagon, or being allowed to send Arabic translated proselytizing documents, and this absolutely horrific killer convert Left Behind series Eternal Forces video game, there doesn't leave much room left in the imagination to figure out what else might be going on.
Mikey, we only have about a half a minute left, but I have another question for you. Do you feel that, is there any evidence that things have gotten completely out of control and out of hand since 2001? I mean, is this George Bush, or was this going on before him?
It's been going on at least since 1972, when we had the end of mandatory conscription. Now we have a poverty draft, right, where people go in for those reasons. This literally went completely, totally bonkers, out of control after 9/11 with, as I said before, this extremely suboptimal human being in the West Wing. There's absolutely no doubt about it, and it is madly out of control as we speak now in a manner such as this, on Free Thought Today.
Can you give us your website again before
Yes, the website is www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. The book is With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. Please don't leave it as one man. Help me.
I'm Dan Barker. I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we've been talking with Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Thank you, Mikey, for joining us today.
My pleasure as always, guys.
We'll be right back with some music and some more Free Thought after this.
You are listening to Free Thought Radio, hosted by Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor, and produced by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org.
Free Thought Radio is back. I'm Dan Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and it's time for this week's Freethinker's Almanac.
On September 12, 1880, America's most prominent freethinking journalist, Henry Louis Mencken, known as H.L. Mencken, was born in Baltimore. Although his father was agnostic, his mother sent Mencken to Sunday school, which he later defined as a prison in which children do penance for the evil conscience of their parents. The cigar-chomping, iconoclastic journalist worked most of his life at the Baltimore Sun, where he had a trademark column, The Freelance. He also co-edited Smart Set magazine and edited American Mercury magazine. Mencken's lifetime production of 28 books included a 6-volume collection of his essays, Prejudices, In Defense of Women, Treatise of the Gods, and an autobiographical trilogy ending with Heathen Days, published as 1 volume in 1947. The sardonic critic of the bourgeoisie, who also coined the term Bubus Americanus, was famed for his coverage of the Scopes trial in Dayton, Tennessee in 1925. H.L. Mencken's many epigrams include, "Faith may be briefly defined as an illogical belief in the occurrence of the improbable. The chief contribution of Protestantism to human thought is its massive proof that God is a bore. No one in this world, so far as I know, has ever lost money by underestimating the intelligence of the great masses of the plain people." He defined Puritanism, "the haunting fear that someone, somewhere, may be happy." Sunday, he called a day given over by Americans to wishing that they themselves were dead and in heaven, and that their neighbors were dead and in hell. He called theology an effort to explain the unknowable by putting it into terms of the not worth knowing. He said the most curious social convention of the great age in which we live is the one to the effect that religious opinions should be respected.
H.L. Mencken died in 1956. Here is what is called Mencken's creed. "I believe that religion, generally speaking, has been a curse to mankind, that its modest and greatly overestimated services on the ethical side have been more than overcome by the damage it has done to clear and honest thinking. I believe that no discovery of fact, however trivial, can be wholly useless to the race, and that no trumpeting of falsehood, however virtuous in intent, can be anything but vicious. I believe that the evidence for immortality is no better than the evidence of witches and deserves no more respect. I believe in the capacity of man to conquer his world and to find out what it is made of and how it is run. I believe in the reality of progress. But the whole thing, after all, may be put very simply. I believe that it is better to tell the truth than to lie. It is better to be free than to be a slave. And I believe that it is better to know than be ignorant."
And with that mordant sense of humor, I think H.L. Mencken would have been a fan of the poem Reincarnation by cowboy poet Wallace D. McCrae, written in 1986. It appears in the book It's Just Grass and Water Poems, which Mr. McCrae graciously gave my co-host Dan Barker permission to set to music. So let's dedicate the broadcast of Reincarnation to the memory of H.L. Mencken.
"What does reincarnation mean?" a cowpoke asked his friend. His pal replied, "It happens when your life has reached its end. They comb your hair and wash your neck and clean your fingernails and lay you in a padded box away from life's travails. The box and you goes in a hole that's been dug into the ground. Reincarnation starts in when you're planted neath a mound. Them clods melt down just like your box and you who is inside. And then you're just beginning on your transformation ride. In a while, the grass will grow upon your rendered mound. Till someday on your moldered grave, a lonely flower is found. And say a hoss should wander by and graze upon this flower that once was you but now's become your vegetative bower." That the hoss done ate up with his other feed makes bone and fat and muscle essential to the steed. but some is left that he can't use, and so it passes through, and finally lays upon the ground this thing that once was you. Then say by chance I wanders by and sees this on the ground, and I ponders and I wonders at this object that I found. I thinks of reincarnation, of life and death and such, and come away concluding, Slim, you ain't changed all that much.
That was Reincarnation, poem by Wallace D. McRae. Music, vocals, and piano by Dan Barker from the CD Friendly Neighborhood Atheist by FFRF.org.
Send us an email, freethoughtradio@FFRF.org. Phone in your comment or a question to be aired on a future show at the Progressive Voicemail telephone. That's 608-663-7222. 9-1.
Thanks to our guest, activist Mikey Weinstein, and to you for listening to Free Thought Radio. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep the non-faith.